Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and the risen and living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. I really love the book of James. The book of James, to me, is one of the most powerful books in the entire New Testament. Now, Luther didn't like the book of James too much. He argued that people wouldn't understand it and would use it as a book to really talk about how we are saved by good works. But to properly understand the book of James, we must understand that the book of James is the only book in the entire of scriptures that's totally written from the point of what we call sanctification. It's totally written from the point of view of after having been saved, after having been baptized, after having had the Holy Spirit given to you in your life, what does your life look like as a transformed person of Jesus Christ? It's really a wonderful book. It's truly a wonderful book that shows us what the life of sanctification is about, what it means to live the life of Christianity. But the other things that we miss sometimes is that James, perhaps more than a lot of the other epistle writers, really, in the writing of sanctification, clearly talks about what God has done for us. What God has done for us in the work and person of Jesus Christ, and the often forgot in the Lutheran Church, the work of what God has done for us in the work of the Holy Spirit. The life that James talks about is a life of beauty rooted in freedom, celebrating reconciliation, peace, and healing. That is what our epistle lesson is about for today. The life that celebrates reconciliation, peace, and healing. Now, we could approach this one or two ways. I could approach it about how we live in that, but I said, no, that's not what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about what God has done for us in the areas of reconciliation, peace, and healing. So you're participating with me today. I have a pop quiz for you. Are you ready? I like it when you help me with my sermons. I don't have to do as much work. My dad didn't say that. My evaluation's coming up this week. I didn't say that, elders, okay? What is reconciliation? What is it? How would you describe it? Anybody? Coming together. Good. I like that. Very good. What else? You get an A for the day. And you're not even in the women's Bible class, so I'm impressed. That's very good. What else would you say? Reconciliation. Yes. Making amends. Okay. Very much part of it. Very good. Anything else? Restoring a relationship. Those are all great things that we talk about. Is reconciliation only for you in the church? No. Can you have reconciliation in your workplaces? Can you have it in your family? Can you have it with your spouse? Most certainly you can, and most of us who are married shake our heads, yes, we can. Is it useful for everyday life? Yes, it is useful for everyday life. So I looked it up in the dictionary. I always like to look it up, see what the dictionary has to say. An act of reconciling as when former enemies agree to an amicable truce. The state of being reconciled. I like when they use the word in the definition. You're like, that doesn't help, right? As when someone becomes resigned to something not desired. The process of making something consistent or compatible. And perhaps my favorite, fixing what is broken. Are we broken? We are broken people, aren't we? We are. I'm broken. I admit that. And as I get older, there are days when I get up in the morning, I realize I'm more broken than I have been in a long time. You understand, right? We're broken. We're broken because we have sin in our lives. And that sin separates us from the power of God and His glory, right? It separates us from God. We're broken because we have illness. We're broken because we're fallen creatures. We're broken because we have bad thoughts. We're broken, some of us, because we have mental illness. We're broken because we have cancer. The list goes on and on and on, but you get the point. We are broken, fallen, sinful people, separated from God because of our sinfulness, because of original sin that lives in our lives. So I want to share something with you that is so profound that I think it describes reconciliation with God better than anything else. There's an ancient art form in Japan that dates back thousands and thousands of years. It's called kintsugi. Kintsugi. And it literally translates into golden joinery. Have you ever seen this before? In Japan, when they have clay or they have dishware or things that are broken, it's not like our culture. What happens if something breaks in our culture? Like you break a plate, what do? You throw it away, right? Your car breaks, you trade it in and get a new one. That's my favorite thing. I like that, right? Your shoes wear out, you don't take them to a shoe repair place. You throw them out, you get a new one. Many people today, their marriage breaks, what do? They throw it out and get a new one, right? Okay, you get the point. Our culture today is very much throw out things. We aren't a reconciliation culture. Well, in Japan, when items such as that glass bowl, that ceramic bowl breaks, they don't throw it away because they see beauty in brokenness. So in that brokenness, they use the art of infused gold to put back together the pieces that had fallen apart. And they allow it to cure. And what they see afterwards is something that is 10 times more beautiful and more useful than it was before it was broken. Now look at that. Isn't that really art? That is something I would love to go into a store and buy. I would like to set that on my shelf. But in Japan, they don't set it on their shelves. They use it again. Because to them, it's more useful and more beautiful than it was before. That is what God has done for you and for me, my brothers and sisters. We were broken. We were clay pieces. We were shattered pots, broken into many thousands of pieces. And by the blood of his son, he pours out into our life this life of reconciliation to him. He brings us back to him. And as he does, he puts the pieces of our lives back together. And what does the Bible say? We are now more precious than gold. Because we have been mended not with gold, but with the precious, holy, innocent suffering and death and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In our brokenness, God puts every piece of our lives back together to reconcile and restore us so that we are beautiful in his sight. No longer does he see us as sinful people, but in Jesus, when he looks down on us, thanks be to God because of baptism, thanks be to God because of the word, thanks be to God because of the Lord's Supper, thanks be to God because of faith and grace and mercy. When God looks down upon us, he sees us to be more precious than gold, more beautiful than anything else in all creation. He sees Jesus in you. And you are more useful to him as broken and repaired than you were if you were perfect and never sinful. Because once you have been broken and repaired, the Lord knows that you have surrendered your heart to him. I surrender all. And that he can use you in powerful ways through the gift of sanctification in his Holy Spirit. Next is peace. How do you describe peace? Peace is a hard word to describe. We know what it feels like, but how do you describe peace? Anybody? Garrett, thank you, my straight A student. So peace is like when everything's going great and there's nothing wrong happening. Very good. Does that happen to anybody in here? But maybe when you're Garrett's age, right? Good example, though. Thank you. Anybody else? Peace, yes. Calming. That's good. Peace does calm us down, doesn't it? And you can tell if you're anxious, if you have anxiety, like I struggle with anxiety, and a lot of people struggle with anxiety, well, you can tell when that peace comes in because instantly you calm down, right? Very good. What else? Any other? What? Not at war. Okay, that's good. Not at war, right? Not at war. Where do you find peace in life for yourselves? Where do you find peace in life? What about you? Where do you find peace? Anybody? Prayer? Very good. Yes. In the ocean. Okay. Good. Yeah, tossing about and the storms coming. Yeah, that's great. No, I'm just kidding. Yes, I understand what you mean. No, I get it. Yes, I get it. Garrett, in Christ, of course you would say that, Pastor Garrett. Thank you very much. Anybody else? I find peace in my life in many ways. Watching airplanes brings me peace. I can sit by the runway and watch planes all day long. My wife will never know where I am, and she's probably pretty happy because I'm not in her hair. I find peace in petting my puppy. There's nothing like petting, I didn't say cat. For cat lovers, I'm sure you find peace, but for me, it's petting my puppy. I find peace in being in the presence of greatness, and that greatness is my wife. I do find peace there. That's a point for me. But we find peace in many ways, right? God gives us peace. How does God give us peace? He gives us peace in prayer. He gives us peace in the power of his word. He gives us peace when we confess our sins and we hear that absolution. Your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, right? He gives us peace in the Lord's Supper. He gives us peace when we remember our baptism. He gives us peace when we have fellowship with each other. When we have potluck, that's peace, right? Because when we're fellowshipping with each other, we have peace. And I love what you said about not being at war because you rewrote my sermon right there. Because before Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, we were at war with God. Our sinful nature, because our sinful nature is rooted in Satan, stands at war and opposition to God, does it not? But God, through the power of his word, and the word is who? The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Who's the word? Jesus. Through Jesus, God gives us peace and has restored us to himself so that we are no longer at war with him, but we have peace that passes understanding. But wait a minute, Pastor. I still have trouble in this world. Do any of you have troubles in this world? Not many of you. That's good. I'm glad. But we still have troubles. If you don't have trouble yet, I promise you will, because you know what Jesus said? In this world, you will have trouble. But then what does he say? But take heart. I have overcome the world, and I give you peace. You see, peace is this calming, comforting, inner sense of the presence of God. Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. You anoint my head. You set a table before me in the presence of my enemies. We have a feast together. Peace is this inner sense of calm and strength that comes in the midst of every trouble we face. It's knowing that even though we may go through mental illness, diagnosis of health, financial problems, divorce, health issues, family issues, whatever the fill in the blank we're going to go through in this world, and they will happen, peace is knowing that Jesus is in us and with us and walking with us. And peace is knowing that there is hope that things will get better. Because heaven is our home. Because that's the kind of God we have. That's how much he loves us. And nothing can take that peace away from us unless we let it. So my encouragement to you is, if you find that peace is waning, where do you go? To the Word of God, to the sacraments. All of these gifts come from God and lead to a tremendous blessing in our life. Do you know what that blessing is? And James is big on it. Healing. Healing. Look at the ministry of Jesus Christ. How many people did he heal? We don't really know, but we see examples of many people that Jesus healed, right? Some of the people were simply healed just by touching his robe. Remember the lady with the blood flow, right? Some of the people were healed as he spit and made mud and put it on their eyes, the blind man, and he could see. Remember the friends who took the guy to see Jesus and they couldn't get in? What did they do? They opened up the roof of the place and let Jesus down because they want Jesus healed, and Jesus healed him. Remember the guy at the pool? Pull the healing waters. He was paralyzed, couldn't get down to the pool. What did Jesus do? He said, take up your mat, walk. You're healed. Over and over we see these. But you also see other healings that we don't grasp and think about as healings. What about when Jesus releases people from demons? Releases them from their past, like the woman at the well. Think about her for a minute. She was trapped and had this disease of sin so wretched in her life that she wouldn't even want to talk to Jesus. She felt such guilt and shame for what she had done in her life, she would come to the well at the middle of the day. Why is that weird? Because you don't come to the well at the middle of the day. It's the hardest part of the day. And the reason the ladies would come at the beginning of the day or at the end of the day is because they'd fellowship together at the well. That's where they would shoot the breeze and talk about their husbands and get all the annoyances off their chest. But she couldn't do that because she was shameful to be around them. So she'd come at the middle of the day. What did Jesus do? He simply talked to her. He simply infused. Now think of this. Infused his love into her heart, and she was healed. Her past was restored. She was reconciled to Jesus. She was put back together. She had peace, and we know she was healed because the first thing she did was run into town to be around other people and say, come see this man who told me everything that I've done. He's the Messiah. She was healed. So healing, it comes in many forms in our lives. It comes through forgiveness. Perhaps something we don't really focus on enough is the fact that the greatest disease that we all share, every one of us have it, we share it together, is sin. And it does lead to death. It is fatal. We will die because of sin. But Jesus forgives us our sins, doesn't he? And because he's reconciled us and filled us with peace, and because he loves us, and because he has redeemed us, bought us back from sin, death, and the devil, even though Satan will cause us to die, as Hebrews 12 says, or Hebrews, somewhere in Hebrews, I don't know if it's 12, but in there, it's in Hebrews. As Hebrews says, even though Satan will hit us with his final blow of death, God redeems us and takes us to heaven, where we are perfectly healed and restored. There is earthly healing. There is healing in death. There is inner healing. I have seen people healed from addiction and mental illness, from cancer, from tumors, from diabetes, in many ways. Sometimes God does this as a miracle, and sometimes he does it through the gift of medicine. And we know that the gift of medicine is from God. We believe in the first article of the Creed. What do we say? That he's provided everything we need for this body and soul. So we know that even a Tylenol that heals your headache is a gift from God for healing. And we know that God has healed us in eternal life because we have been healed from the disease of sin that leads to eternal life with him in heaven. So what do we do now? That's a great message, isn't it? Don't you feel good? I mean, to think about how much God loves us and how much he cares about us. And in spite or despite of our sinfulness and wretchedness and the ugliness that we make of life, God's love for us does not change. His grace for us does not change. His view of us does not change. Romans 8 says, nothing separates us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord, because we have reconciliation and peace and healing. I love how James ends his chapter. He says, remember, when you go out and when you evangelize, this is paraphrasing, when you go out and tell a sinner about Jesus and his reconciliation and his peace and his love, you have covered over a multitude of sins. You have healed them. You have saved them. And that's what we do. That's the whole summary of the book of James. All because of what Jesus has done for us. Our task is simple and it's easy. It's to love, to forgive, and to share the good news of the healing, saving gospel of Jesus Christ with our neighbors, and our friends, and our families, and our coworkers, with everyone we meet. In the name of Jesus, amen.